Now, all right. Sorry, we're running late. I could announce, you know, to start 30 minutes later or an hour later, but all of us, including me, we'd just be an hour later late. Sometimes. Brother and Sister Tally are visiting Sister Leanna this morning, but they'll be here for church. Brother and Sister McGowan are on vacation. They're in Florida. They're on the beach out sunning. No, they're with Brother Von George's this morning, I think. We've been talking on eternal judgment. I just thought we'd start in on hell today. And we might just mention, you know, the doctrine of hell it's really a pretty big subject. Always the best way to discuss the Bible's doctrine of hell is to start off showing words that we've missed, like in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. A lot of people miss those words. And then the difference between mortality and immortality, corruption and incorruption. And we'll go over that, but I just thought today, since we're running late, I might just mention, you've heard me say it, and I don't know, I'm sure several of you have heard other ministers in the body refer to 7 hells in the Bible. I just thought I'd mention them. And it really is listing words that's translated from the same words that are translated hell. In the Old Testament, there's just one Hebrew word that is translated hell all through the Old Testament. And it's that word is the word Sheol, the Hebrew word Sheol. The first place in the Bible to find the word of hell is in Deuteronomy 32. And you might just want to turn there. I'm not going to spend time going through the scriptures on hell today, but this is the first scripture in the Bible, which is a good indicator. Here, we're already 2,000 years into God's timetable. From the fall of Adam, the calling of Abraham, and then finally Moses calling the children of God out of Egypt, and he's taken them across the wilderness to the promised land. And the first time that God mentions hell in the Bible, where is it? In the 32nd chapter, let's start up in the let's get a little bit of backdrop on it. he starts off here. Let's just look at the first verse and just kind of drop down through. It says, "Give ear, O you heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and crooked. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus require the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he the Father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of my many generations. Ask the Father, and he'll show thee. Thy elders, and they'll tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Of course, you know Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and that's what it's talking about. Israel, and he divided the inheritance among the 12 tribes. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Butter of kine and milk of sheep and fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun, which is Jerusalem, it means upright one, and it's used for Jerusalem many times in the Bible. Jeshurun, where am I at here? Waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, and abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters, and he said, I will hide my face from them, I'll see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I'll move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I'll provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Here he's prophesying how he's going to provoke Israel with the Gentiles, those that are not even a nation. So it's even reaching all the way down here to us. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Notice here that this fire of hell, and it's the lowest hell. The very first scripture in the Bible is dealing with hell, not only hell, but the lowest hell. And it said it'll consume the earth and her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Of course, this is prophecy. And here, mountains aren't talking about regular mountains. God's not going to burn these big mountains of dirt up, but it's talking about mountains of religion. It just, you have to understand God's language how that in prophecy, mountains represent religious systems. Even the church is a mountain, Mount Zion. It's a high place. These are high places in the earth. He said, I'll heap mischiefs upon them, and I'll spend mine arrows upon them, and they'll be burned with hunger. There's this fire. You have to see that it's that this is prophetical, and you have to see that it's symbolic, that hunger is not a fire. It don't burn you, not like a fire does, but it will consume you like a fire if you don't find something to eat. And of course, this God's dealing here. He goes on, said, they'll be burned with hunger and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young men and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. I said I would scatter them into corners. I'd make them make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries would behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. So, here he's prophesying all the way down to AD 70 and even on down to the time of the Gentiles, that finally God would provoke Israel after this judgment comes on them. But it does show God's judgment of a nation, of Israel, where he said he'd provoke them with hunger. That it would devour with burning heat and bitter destruction, and send the teeth of beasts upon them, and the poison of serpents of the dust, the sword without and terror. And it says that it would destroy both young man and virgin and suckling also. Remember Jesus prophesying, saying, woe be unto them that give suck in those days. And Matthew 24, showing God's judgment in AD 70 would be so severe that if you had little babies, it would be very difficult to flee from the wrath of God that would be in the Roman army that brought destruction upon Israel. It would be very difficult with little kids to flee into the mountains and escape the destruction of all of that. And then they did. Roman history shows that the Roman military kept them surrounded and in the mountains until they were so hungry that they ate their own dead babies. They ate their own dung and they drank their own urine. They got so thirsty. And God put that kind of destruction on people that rejected him, that he had been dealing with a nation of people for 2,000 years. And after he made himself fully manifested, he destroyed that nation in that way. And so that's a terrible hell that this word Sheol is talking about. The word Sheol is also, it's translated grave and pit many times in the Old Testament. It depends on how, let's list these right quick. Sheol is the Hebrew word for hell. It's translated hell. So the Sheol, then the grave and the pit. In the Old Testament, depends on what they were dealing with. If it's almost unique when you start looking at it, how that if it's dealing with a with wicked people, it's translated hell. If it's dealing with a righteous person, going to it says grave. We talked about Job. They translated Sheol the grave, because they didn't want to put him in hell. The translators had a hard time understanding hell and how to translate it. So they translated it either hell, the grave, or the pit. And then in the New Testament, the word Hades is the Greek word for the word Sheol, which is translated grave also, and then Gehenna is a New Testament word that is not dealing with the grave. Everywhere hell is translated from Gehenna in the New Testament is it's dealing with a punishment, a hell, or destruction. It's a punishment of destruction. Let's see if I can give you an example in Matthew, where Jesus said, he said, if a man calls his brother, if he says to his brother, Raca, which means thou fool, he said, he's in danger. I'm telling you, he was showing the difference between grace and the law. He said, you've heard it said that if a man says to his brother, Raca, which means thou fool, or you blithering idiot, that he's in danger of the council. There was a council that they could bring you before for slandering if you were somebody slandered your name. And but he said, but I tell you, if a man say to his brother, thou fool, he's in danger of hell fire. And that hell is Gehenna. And the Greek word Gehenna is from the word Hinnom, H-I-N-N-O-M, which in the Old Testament, the Valley of Hinnom was just outside of Jerusalem. And that's where, like right now, these waste management companies that picks up our trash. They pick up ours on Thursday mornings. I have, you know, Brother Phil's company, Waste Management. That's who picks up my trash. I didn't have no selection over it. That's just who my water company uses. And they pick up my trash every Thursday morning. And if I forget to put it out and it dawns on me, you know, I mean, I'm liable to make a dead run in my T-shirt or, you know, just whatever I can get on just to think, oh, I got to get it. You know, because you know what it's like to have trash that you don't have room to put any more in it, and you got to wait a whole nother week, and you're thinking all that piling up on you. And you know, if it hits me, I'm up and running barefooted trying to go across the rocks and push that thing out my gravel driveway or whatever I do to get my trash out. I try to remember to put it out Wednesday night after church when I get home, but sometimes I think, oh, I'll put it out. I always get up early. He always comes late. And then about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, I thought, oh, the trash. I got to get the trash. And I put it out late this week. And Michael and I were going somewhere about 1 or 2 o'clock. And, of course, there sat my trash out by the driveway, and it's still full. So I drove down by my neighbor's, and his was sitting there, and I stopped. Michael said, what are you stopping for? I said, see if there's any trash in that trash can. And there was. Well, he didn't come till Friday because it was a, you know, holiday, so I was a day ahead of time acting crazy. But they take that trash and they got guys working full time, you know, that's with dozers digging big holes in the ground, burying our trash. But in the days of old, they didn't have bulldozers, so they burned it. And they burned it out in the Valley of Hinnom outside of Jerusalem. And that was a good thing. You know, if any of you have a place, like now I've got a place in out, you know, we have 10 acres or 9 acres, so I've got a place out behind my house that is I've got a burn pile where I burn trash. And so, but it doesn't burn tin cans, and I don't like burning plastic bottles and all that kind of stuff, so, and I'm paying for it with my water bill, so I might as well get it. And it doesn't burn uneaten food very good and all that, but anyway, out in the Valley of Hinnom, you can imagine that there's a fire out. Can you imagine there was, I don't know how many people, but I would say several million people in Jerusalem. At least I would say it's at least a million. And can you imagine all them people hauling their trash out there? I don't know if they had camel pickup or how it went. You know, I mean, I don't know if they had a deal, you know, a cart that them camels come along and, yeah, you know, yeah, a chariot. How they did it. But, you know, I can't see all those people carrying their trash out there to the Valley of Hinnom. I mean, I'd at least got me a donkey or something if I was going to take mine out there. But can you imagine all of those people's trash every day that was accumulating and them piling it out there? It was a constant fire and coals of fire just smoldering out there, no doubt, all the time. And I'm sure that the way the wind came out of Jerusalem and across those mountains, it carried that smoke away. I'm sure they chose that area for that purpose. I mean, I guess if it had been another mountain, we'd been dealing with something besides Gehenna. It'd been some other mountain besides, or valley besides Hinnom. But that's where they chose, so that's what's used in the Bible for the Valley of Hinnom, where they constantly burned their waste. And so that's used. That's what they understood that Gehenna, when Jesus said, I'm telling you that you're not just going to be in danger of a council if you slander your brother, if you've got that kind of spirit. You're not going to just be having some man judge your case. You're going to wind up out in the Gehenna, in the Hinnom, out there in that valley, just like that trash is. You're going to wind up destroyed. You're going to utter destruction of God's fire. And they understood that God's judgment was like fire. They knew Deuteronomy 32. They'd rehearsed it many times. They knew it was a prophecy. God showed them in the 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st, 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. The Lord was showing them, here's what I'm going to do. If you obey me, I'm going to bless you. If you disobey me, I'm going to punish you. And it, finally, those that reject me, I'm going to destroy you. And they understood that. They understood what the meaning was. I remember after I found this body, that was a truth I didn't know about. I didn't understand hell or all these things about hell. I just something that wasn't talked about so much out there. I told y'all about that guy that, you know, took that scripture on scattering abroad, and he couldn't read very good in Cisco, and he read us that scripture and said, he that gathers not with me scratcheth a board. You know, and told us, said in hell they're going to have boards. Said, then they're going to say, scratch that board, and it'll run them splinters right up underneath your fingernails. And said, you'll just be, you know, just dying of all that pain and riddling your hand with them splinters way up underneath your fingernails. And they said, you'll try to stop, and there'll be some demon there with a bullwhip, and he'll pop you one and say, scratch that board, boy. I never will forget that guy. That was the height of explaining the you know I wouldn't have been worried about splinters. I wanted to tell him, man, that fire burned them boards up. You don't have to worry about getting any splinter in you. If it's that hot a fire, it'll all be consumed before you ever get, you'll never have no board down there. But I just wanted to show him the fallacy of his teaching if he really believed in burning hell like that. Anyway, so did we get all seven of them wrote down? Huh? Okay, we've got the grave, pit, Sheol, the grave, pit, Hades, Tartarus. Oh, Gehenna, Tartarus, which is in the second chapter of Second Peter. Let's see if we can find that right quick. Second Peter. This is, matter of fact, this is the only place it's used in the Bible, in the New Testament, Tartarus. And it is a Greek word for it's a holding place for punishment, is what the Greek definition is. Let me find it here. Yeah, it's right here. It's in the fourth verse, 2 Peter 2 and 4. Let's just back up and get the backdrop of it. It says, and then we'll... It says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, this time of God's wrath and damnation and judgment is upon them, and it's not going to linger any longer. I just thought he said, through covetousness they shall with feigned words. You know what feigned words mean? That you know what unfeigned faith is. It's unwavering, but wavering words. Words that waver, stray from the truth. Here's something I've learned in just pastoring the last 30 years. I've just learned that if you leave people without teaching and without counsel, without order, they'll waver from the truth. They're the covetousness of the heart. It's the man's heart's deceitful, and man's heart will lead him astray. They'll get out of order, and they'll get to a place where they start thinking independent, and they'll start thinking what's all right and what's not all right, and that's feigned thinking. and that's what people separated themselves from the truth back there, or get off thinking, I'm going to make up my own mind how to do this. But there, God, he, we can't make up our own mind. We've got to get God's mind. We've got to get His order and His truth. And so anyway, said, and then verse 4 says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned. And that word angel just means messengers. If He spared not the messengers of old in the old covenant, but cast them down to hell and delivered them in chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And by the word, the word Tartarus is translated cast them down to hell. The whole little form there is the word translated Tartarus, which means are cast, put into a place for punishment. In other words, God reserved, He delivered Israel that rejected Him. Those that rejected Him in the rebellion, He reserved them unto judgment, but He also put them in chains of darkness. In other words, He kept them in the dark. He bound them, I'll put it that way. He bound them up in darkness, or a lack of understanding, didn't allow them to see the truth because of their spirit of rejection and rebellion. And yes. Let me look right quick. No, I don't think so. Tartarus is not in the New Testament one time. Come down from heaven, a key in the bottom of it, and chain his hand, laid hold on them, which has bound them 1,000 years, right there. That's what you're... Yeah, he's given a reference to that, but that word is deo, which means just to bind, you know. But it is a reference showing that God, he took a, here in Revelations 20, he took a chain of how does it say that? Yeah, but what's the verse right above that? Having the key of the bottomless pit and a chain in his hand. And he used this chain to bind the devil, Satan, the dragon, and the serpent. And that chain there, I've always taught and heard taught, that it's the bride. That God linked the bride together, and they are going to bind wickedness for 1,000 years with the order of God and the word of God. And I think you could probably use in 2 Peter how that the righteousness of God's word is what bound Israel in darkness. But I also think their spirit bound them. I think there's two ways of seeing that, but because they were cast in a holding place. This Tartarus is a Greek word. In fact, it was a Greek mythological term that the Greeks actually used for a hell. By the time Jesus came on the earth, the Greeks came up with Beelzebub and several demons of a dark place and the abyss, which the word in the Bible, abyss, just means deep, where Jesus went out and he said, they cast their nets out into the deep. That word's the same word translated abyss. Just means deep, but the Greeks came up with this place deep down into the earth. He was telling somebody the other day, you know, the difference in where he lives out there, and my place is the same way. It's that sandy loam dirt, and you can just, ain't a rock anywhere, I don't guess. You can just dig. He said, I could dig my way all the way to hell. He said, it's just, you can just dig a hole real easy in just a few minutes. You can, you know, it'd take you. He was telling the church, and last week he went with me up to Republic, and he was telling the church, reminding them how long it took us to dig the hole to pour the foundation for the sign, the church sign there. Worked on it like all day. He said, I could dig a hole twice that size in 30 minutes in my backyard. He was telling him how he liked the kind of dirt that was there. But anyway, and I've heard a few times that they thought a few times they found hell. You know, and down in the earth, they thought a few times they found this place, but then they found out it wasn't true. So, a lot of people would like to know if it's, you know, I heard a preacher in the body say one time, he said, I'd like to know if it's right in the center of the earth, what's on the other side of America? Seemed like somebody told him China. He said, could you hit it quicker if you start digging in America or China? Where would you start digging? If it's right in the center, you could start digging from anywhere and hit it. So, you know, but anyway, it's amazing when you start really looking at the Word of God that we find the truths of God's Word and find out that there's a lot of hell right here on the earth. There is a scripture. I'll leave y'all with this and we'll stop. I'm gonna give y'all a home, let's see, what do they call it? Homework assignment. There's a scripture in the Bible that tells you can get out of hell. I want y'all to find that scripture for me. It tells you can get out of hell. That'd be a good scripture for you to give people when they tell you to go there. Say, well, I know how to get out of there. If I ever wind up there, there's a scripture in the Bible says I can get out, or if they, you know, somebody in religion starts telling you, I'm talking to you about hell, say, did you know you can get out of that place? All right, I'll see you upstairs.